Please turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You know, we sing a song. Well, I don't know that we've really sung it too much around here, but there's a song, to be like Jesus, you know, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And it's a good song. And we talk about, you know, man, we've got to be like Jesus, got to be like Jesus. Well, let's talk about the example that Jesus left for us. Let's start in Luke chapter 4, in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Well, it continues on for a little bit, but jump down to verse 28. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." Well, I'm sure that wasn't a very exciting moment in the life of Jesus. But let's look over in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we're going to begin reading here in verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, then he begins sharing and ministering and so forth, and jump over to verse 54. "Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet fifty years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Took up stones to stone him. Now look over in John chapter 10. Verse 22. "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Now let me just give you a heads up, okay? If you're ever invited to preach at a church, and you walk in, and they've got a pile of stones sitting over there, I suggest turning around and just walking out. Just tell them you had a prior engagement. You know, and if they ask you what it is, just tell them living. and just go. We talk about, we want to be like Jesus. Then you see something like this. these three times, you know, they're trying to kill him. What kind of a life is that? You're just trying to serve God, and people turn on you. You're trying to do what God wants, and people, they make your life miserable. I'll look over in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. And it talks about how Herod, he had heard John preaching and so forth, but yet he was involved in adultery with his brother Philip's wife. She didn't like the way that John was telling them that they're in sin. And so she had her daughter dance for Herod. And, you know, Herod, maybe he'd had a little bit too much to drink, but, you know, he was moved by the dance. And he says, I'll give you whatever you ask for. And she said, well, give me the head of John the Baptist. Well, he didn't really want to do that. But because he had said it, he went. That right there should tell you something. He understood the value of your word. Don't speak rashly. I'm serious. Don't speak rashly. But he knew that he needed to follow through with this. And so it says here that he sent, verse 10, and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Now, what do you think he was doing? He's praying. He's alone and he's praying. Who was John? Who was John the Baptist? That was his cousin. And he was a miracle baby, just like Jesus was a miracle baby. They knew each other from childhood. This was not, you know, Jesus hearing news about somebody he never knew. This was a family member. And this family member was murdered, and so Jesus, you know, he gets alone to pray, to seek God. And people, when they heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. When they heard what? When they heard where Jesus was, not when they heard about John the Baptist. When they heard what Jesus, where he was, and it says, verse 14, that Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. In other words, okay, Jesus is hurting. A family member has been murdered in a most gruesome way. And so he wants to get alone with his father for refreshing, for strength, for, you know, whatever you want to call it. And what happens? You know, people, they show up, they've got problems, and he knows that he has to minister to them. Well, look over in Acts chapter 12. Now, this isn't about Jesus, but let's take a look at what happens. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king, by the way, there were several people back in those days that took the name of Herod, all right? So, you know, it's not like the same Herod lived for 150 years. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John. Remember the sons of thunder? Okay, this is the apostle James. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. All right, so what do you have here? You have one of the 12 who gets murdered. And when the person behind it sees that this seems to be a popular decision, might help me in the next election, not that there was an election, but you get the idea. He went and he had Peter arrested. Now, what do you think he was going to do with Peter? Kill him too. Well, you can keep reading the story later on and find out how that Peter, you know, he got out of jail and so forth. But now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The apostle, we're jumping in the middle of what the apostle Paul is sharing. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are come without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So what do we have here? Well, what we have is Jesus going through several attempts on his life. We have Jesus going through the death, horrific death, of a family member. We have James the apostle being murdered and Peter being arrested. Then we have the apostle Paul sharing all of this stuff. I mean, what kind of life is that? Now, here's what I'm getting at. Don't you get up and run out now. Your life is going to stink at times. It is going to absolutely, positively stink. There are going to be times when you're going to, if not question God, feel like questioning God. But he already knows your heart. There are going to be times when you're going to feel like never walking back in the door of this church, if you haven't already felt those, and some of you have. There are going to be times you just want to get away from everybody. You don't care who it is. You want to be alone forever. There are going to be times you're going to want to move and get away from everything that you know. There are times you don't want to serve God. You don't want to work. You just find me a cave somewhere out in the middle of wherever that nobody knows where it exists. And I'll live there. I don't care if I got to eat bugs and cactus the rest of my life. You know, I use the cactus needles as, you know, toothpicks or something. I want away from it all. I don't want to be around anything. I'm tired of this. And that's when you've lost your car keys. Then you have those days where it gets even worse. Some of you might be going through stuff like this right now. You feel like people have turned against you, family members. In fact, in another place, Jesus, it indicates some of his family members turned. They thought he was nuts. How many of you, some of your family members, have thought you're nuts? How many of you have kind of proven it to them over the years? Listen, I prove it daily to Kathy. See, if you act like you're crazy, then the devils won't torment you to drive you crazy. You're already there, so what difference? Leave him alone. Now, but there are going to be times in your life when you're going to think, what good is it to be a Christian? What am I doing in life? And there are going to be times when you feel like that the stuff in what you're going through is worse than what everybody else has gone through. I mean, I feel that about things that I've gone through, but the reality is everybody's gone through junk. Yeah, well, okay, praise God, everybody's gone through junk, okay, but not my junk. That's right. And you don't respond to what I go through the way you respond to what you go through. There are going to be times in life when you're going to be tempted to think that God is dumped on you. Why is God allowing this? Why me? Why do I have to face these kinds of things? Well, it's not simply because you're a Christian. It's because you're a human being alive on planet Earth. That's just the way it is. Look, I'm not trying to sound, you know, it's like, why not come tonight? I don't need a sermon like this. You know, every single person in this room, if you have not already gone through the death of a friend or family member, guess what? It's coming. It's going to happen. In some cases, it may be that the person is dying a slow death, a disease or something. I don't know. And other times, you get the phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning. It happens. It happens, okay? And it's not pleasant. And it's not fun. But I want you to take a look at something. Look over in Acts chapter 9. Now, in Acts chapter 9, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was arresting, torturing, having executed Christians and so forth. It was rough. Well, then he has the Damascus Road experience. The bright light and, you know, Paul, why are you persecuting me and so forth? And he goes blind. And anyway, we pick it up in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here. Now stop right there. Notice this, it says, and to him said the Lord in a vision. I would like to know, what was that vision? What did God show him? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now, I understand Ananias praying this way. I'd probably pray the same way too. In fact, I would probably tell God, you know, you got the wrong number here. I'm you know. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And look at this 16th verse. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, why would God make Paul suffer? He didn't. He said, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay, this tells us a lot. I'm not trying to scare you out of serving God. But the moment you make a decision to serve God, sooner or later, you're going to suffer. And I don't mean suffer as in mortifying the flesh and get the sin out. I'm talking about you're going to suffer, not necessarily like Paul, the beatings and the shipwrecks and all that, but I mean, you're going to suffer something. It may be the rejection of your family members. It could also be God giving you a revelation of friends and family members you thought were heroes of the faith. And then you realize they're not, because as long as you think they are examples, God can't take you beyond where you are. He wants you to see the dirty laundry. Not so you can tell everybody, for you to protect yourself. And listen, I can bear witness with that one. I don't know what it is, but eventually, it's like I learned a long time ago, I would have these relationships. And everything's going along okay, but then, all of a sudden, it's like God opens the closet door and says, here, I want to show this to you. Like, man, you got to be kidding me. Well, it's not like I go tell anybody, but I sit around and it's like, wow, I didn't really need to know that. And then it happened again. Then it happens again, happened again and again. And finally, I caught on. You know, it's just a matter of time before. And I'm not going to say 100%, but I'll say the majority of the people, I don't even know how to phrase this, God's going to show me stuff. And I've had to resign myself to the fact that's the way it is. And live with it. Why he does that, I'm not 100% sure. It could be because he's wanting, in part, to protect me, but at the same time, to help me guard myself against wrong influence. I'll tell you another thing, another reason for this kind of stuff, is when you know something about somebody that's not the most flattering, you know now you have to draw a line in that relationship and not cross it. Because the one thing you don't want to be is guilt by association. You can't do that. And it hurts sometimes. It's extremely disappointing. But that's the way it is. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to suffer loss. And I don't simply mean the loss, the passing away of a friend or a family member. If you're in business, there are going to be times when you're going to face a business crisis. You may face a business devastation. And right about now, some people are going to say, this is the most unfaith sermon I've ever heard. No, this is, wait till we're done, okay? Don't pass judgment yet. That's the way it is here in life. I'm going to tell you another thing. There are some things about preachers. If I were to give you their name, you'd know them. I'm talking big time preachers. Somehow I found some things out. But I'm not going to repeat it because they've done so much good and have such a good influence on people. You don't even know these preachers personally. You just have heard them. Maybe you've listened to their sermons. But I'm not going to discredit them. But there are some things that if you knew about some of these big preachers, you'd want to run and hide. How can it be like that? How could they have done that? And so on and so forth. But that's the way it is in this world. That's the way it is in this life. Sometimes things happen, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. You know, there are a lot of people out there that, they just want to symbolically crucify preachers when the children of the preachers go bonkers. You can't blame those preachers. And that's not fair. Because children have a will of their own, and they're going to choose whatever they want to do. You know, they want to jump off the roof, they're going to jump off the roof. They want to do drugs, they're going to do drugs. They want to, you know, run the bars and sleep with everybody that comes along. They're going to do this. You can't force things to be different. All you can do is pray. So you're going to go through times of heartbreak. You're going to go through times of great suffering. And in some cases, it might be your own physical suffering. You're going to, I guess what I'm trying to say is, life on this world, this planet, it stinks. I mean, you go through happy times, and boy, everything's great. But then the stink hits. And now all of a sudden, everything's lousy. Well, you know what? You're right. Not everything's lousy, but what's happening right now at this moment is lousy. God told the Apostle Paul, let me rephrase it. God said, look, here's my calling on your life, Apostle Paul, but before you get started, I want you to know this. You're going to suffer stuff that you can't believe. And I'm warning you ahead of time so that right now, before we get started, if you want to walk away, you can walk away, but I will never disown you. And the Apostle Paul, he took the challenge and he said, you know what? After what I've done to you, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. You know, they're going to do what they want. And if you look over in, look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. See, the message tonight, quite frankly, see, there are a lot of Christians out there that if you go through stuff, if bad things happen, they're going to tell you you don't have any faith. They're going to tell you you're a loser. They're going to tell you, well, if you had faith, that stuff wouldn't happen. Oh, yeah, try that one on the Apostle Paul. He had faith. That's how he survived all of that stuff. He talked in another place about all these things that came upon me, but the Lord delivered me from them all. God delivered him, but he still got whooped, and he still got kicked, and he still got beaten, and he still got shipwrecked. But God delivered him. See, that's the part a lot of people tend to forget. Yeah, God delivers, but when you are living for Jesus Christ, you're going to go through bad stuff, but you're going to go through bad stuff anyway because that's life on this planet. But you're going to go through extra bad stuff, additional bad stuff, because you're choosing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not your fault. That's just the way it is. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what that means? Every time the bad stuff, the semi-bad stuff, the really bad stuff charges into your life, he's right there. He's right there with you. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. Even you know, God, why are you letting me? Why are you doing this to me? Why? He said, hey, I'm here to help. If I were going to make your life miserable, I'd be out of here. You'd be on your own. But I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. I'm right here with you. You know, look back over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you know, we just read there in chapter 11 about all that stuff that the Apostle Paul went through. And here we get insight to even more. He said, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, meaning everything that God had shown him that he was teaching to the churches, what we hold in our hands, the New Testament. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Well, what was the thorn in the flesh? Was it an eye infection? Was it a, you know, were you knock kneed? I mean, what's the deal here? He says, no, this thorn in the flesh, it was a messenger of Satan. You know what? It's probably not one of us in our lifetimes ever going to have Satan's personal butler show up to give us a hard time. We'll deal with other kind of devils. But Satan's own messenger? Come on. He said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, that's a nice way of putting it. A messenger of Satan to beat the tar out of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, to keep me down, to try and stop me from teaching these things that I've received from the Lord. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Oh God, why me? Oh God, please. Oh God. You know how we've done? But finally, verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, well, based upon that information, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my deliverance, in my protection. No, I will glory in my infirmities. That means the infirmities is not like, well, I had a broken finger. No, all the stuff that went on. He's not saying, I'm going to, yippee, praise God, another shipwreck. Oh, hallelujah. No. He says, in the midst of the infirmities, I will glory unto God. You understand what he's saying here? And the reason I'll do that is so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, when is the power of Christ going to rest upon him? In the midst of the infirmity, in the midst of the shipwreck, in the midst of the beatings, in the midst of the hunger, in the midst of all of the junk that he's going through. He says, yeah, I will be going through this, but you know what? Now that I know that his grace is sufficient for me, then hallelujah, here I am. Locked up in another prison. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. I'm not happy I'm here, but boy am I happy I'm going to be with you for all eternity. Boy am I happy you love me and forgive me. And I give you the glory. I give you the praise. And then what happens, that opens the door for the strength of Christ and the power of that strength to rest upon me. And he says, therefore, verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Meaning, in myself, who can handle this? Sooner or later, you're going to throw in the towel in and of yourself. But in this power of Christ that rests upon me, then I praise you, Jesus. I don't rejoice that I'm going through it. However, you know, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities. It wasn't like he was laying there, it's, you know, oh, please beat me again. Oh, hit me one more time. Oh, if that whip wears out, go buy another one. I'll wait. No, that's not what was going on. He was saying, you know what? I live in a world where people hate me. But I have a Jesus who loves me. And I'm going to make it. I'll make it through. And if you guys do happen to kill me, you know what? I've been killed before, in deaths often. I've been killed before. Somebody just raised me from the dead. It's okay. I'm not worried about this. Look what you're doing to my body. I'm not worried about this. You know why? Because I will be delivered. I will be delivered. Do you know how I know for a fact that, you know, your time hasn't come yet? Because you're here. Hey, that's pretty smart, huh? Yeah, deep calleth unto deep on that one. Okay, you know, the Apostle Paul, he realized God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. God said, all right, now if God's grace is sufficient for the Apostle Paul, is it not sufficient for you and me? When your family just gives you a hard time because you're living for the Lord, when your family questions or criticizes or just mean to you because you've made the decisions God's told you to make, on and on this goes, even into the really horrible things that happen, whether they are demonically inspired or not, the bottom line is this: God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And there have been times when I have faced stuff. Well, okay, I'll show you. Turn over to Hebrews again. Chapter 4 this time. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what the Apostle Paul discovered. The throne of grace is open to me, and I'm going to go through tough times. Over there in Philippians, he talks about how that there are times when he had, you know, abundant finances, and then there were times he didn't have anything. There were times when he went hungry, didn't have any money to buy any food. Then there were times he had all kinds of money. But he, you know what he said? I've learned how to make it through because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He figured it out. Now, if he figured it out, so can we. That's one of the reasons why some of these things are documented. It's because God wants to get a message across to us that, yeah, you know what? You're going to go through times in life where it's not going to be a lot of fun. And you know what? I have probably been in my life unemployed more times than any of you. In fact, it's possible I've been unemployed more times than all of you combined. Possible. I know what it's like to be told we're letting you go. I know what it's like we're eliminating your job. I know what it's like. Just, well, the reasons go on and on. It's like, okay, well, what? Now what? Now what? Well, it's just amazing. I always found another job. Always. And sometimes it was what you might call a divine connection. You meet somebody and, hey, well, there's a job here, or there's this is whatever. It's like, hey, praise God, hallelujah. It wasn't always the kind of money that I wanted, but, I mean, it was a job. The point I'm getting at, guys, is that if you sit around and think that you're never going to have a hard time, well, most of you, you wouldn't go so far as to say that. But if you think that there's a limit to the number of bad things that are going to happen to you, there's not. And the further you go into Christ, the more junk is going to happen. You say, well, Brother Martin, you just making it sound, why should I serve Jesus if this stuff's going to happen? Okay, isn't there a verse in the Scripture that says something like this about Jesus? For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. There is a joy that is always set before us, constantly before us. It's always there. And because of that, we can go through anything that happens. It's not always going to be fun. You get the phone call and a family member has passed away, either expected it was going to happen soon or totally unexpected. But you know what? There is a joy that is set before us. And that joy is found in the relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not going to like these things that happen. Flat out, you're not. You'll sit at, if you've got a child that just seems to go wacky, and you think, I didn't raise you like this. Where is this coming from? And you know, you want to pull your hair out and theirs, and your heart is aching, and you know, tears. It's like, God, what have I done wrong? And it's like, God would tell you, what do you think? Why do you think you've done something wrong? Why? Why do you think you've done something wrong? But look at my kid. Okay, what about all the kids that grow up in homes where there's all kinds of drug abuse and alcohol and prostitution and blah, 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 and then they turn out great? How do you explain that one? What did those parents do wrong? They were trying so hard to get their kids messed up, and by golly, the kids, they just wouldn't get messed up. How do you explain that? There's no good answer. But those children made a decision, I'm not going to be like this. Other children, they follow the path of mom and dad. That's just the way it works in this world. But see, for us, we're born again. We know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There is a joy that is set before us continually. It's always right there. And it's the joy of His presence. I want you to listen to this. I mean, there are so many verses in Scripture that God has given to us to minister to us about these things. In Psalm 31:7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. I'll rejoice in thy mercy. Even though I'm in the middle of the junk, I'll rejoice in thy mercy. See, one of the things that God helped me with a long time ago was the fact He knew this stuff was going to happen before it ever happened. And therefore, He's got a plan. I don't know what that plan is, but He's got a plan. So what I do then, you know, follow after the pattern of the Apostle Paul, rejoice. I rejoice. I don't like this one bit. And He knows I don't like it. Hey, guess what? He doesn't like it either. But see, the moment you step on that path to serve Him, man, there's all kinds of stuff waiting for you. You know what a gauntlet is? That's where you know you have a row of people, and you have to walk in between that row of people, and as you're walking through, each person's hitting you in with their fist or a club or something. A gauntlet, all right? So, guess what? The moment you step out to serve Jesus Christ, you start walking a gauntlet. That's the right word, right? Gauntlet? Yeah. You start walking that gauntlet because you've got devils and people that don't like you and affliction and all kinds of stuff. It's going to wail on you. But you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. And there is a joy that is constantly before you. And He is always there with His grace to help you through. In Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence my help, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The help will be there always. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. The help is always going to be there. The help will not always be exactly how we would define it, but the help will always be there. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. He's my stronghold. That's the kind of stronghold you should have in your life. He's my stronghold. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Meaning, he will comfort us, and the power of that comfort in us will flow through us to other people so that we can comfort them. Not simply pat them on the back, oh, it'll be okay now. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give me a That's like the guy I used to work with. He said, this one right here is instant death, and this one here is even quicker. Which one do you want? I don't need that kind of comfort. I already know that. And it's goofy. Listen. God is there. And he already knows that we're going to... Hey, he knows what's coming up next week. My team better win, or bless God, it's going to be the worst thing I've ever done. I don't think God's too concerned about the game. I get a kick out of these people that pray for God to give them victory. It's like, seriously? That ain't going to happen, dude. And if anything, he'll make your team lose just to teach you a lesson. You're going to go through stuff. You may be going through it right now, but I'm telling you right now, no matter how lousy it gets, he's there. His strength is there. His grace is there. His mercy is there. Look over in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. If ever there was a chapter that should be your standard or the standard for Christians when it comes to God, I need help. This is it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. Now, see, some people would read this and twist it to say, well, that makes it sound like you'll never have any problem. No, no. This chapter wouldn't be here if the stuff weren't headed in your direction. And he's telling you, now let me kind of paraphrase this. Evil's coming, but you know what? I will strengthen you to endure what evil does. Whatever happens, I'll be there with you. And he goes through and he talks about, you'll tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Guess what? You wouldn't be trampling and treading if they weren't trying to take you down. You see this? So, yeah, he's telling you in this chapter, you're going to face some pretty rough times. However, I will get you through. I'll get you through. You'll come out on the other side. You know, like David wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, every one of us in here, again, we're going to face this stuff. It's going to happen. When it does, we should not act surprised. Do you understand what I mean by that? Because when we realize that according to the Word of God, these things are going to happen, it's like, you know what? I don't like it. I'm not all excited about it, and I sure wish it didn't happen, but hey, you know, Jesus said, if they did it unto me, they'll do it unto you. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Why would my heart possibly be troubled? Because troubling things are knocking on the door of my life. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? I finally figured it out. God's grace is sufficient. And His grace will strengthen me to endure the beating, to endure the imprisonment, to endure all of this stuff. Because it's not His fault people hate me for serving Him. It's not His fault my family rejects me for serving Him. It's not His fault that I go to church on Sunday and nobody likes it. It's not His fault. No, instead, it's to His glory that I do these things. And even if the world turns... You know, there was a song that we used to sing. What, something about, though none go with me, still I will follow. Well, I forget, that song had like... I have decided to follow Jesus. Yeah. You know, the cross before me, the world behind me, or whatever. I mean, that song had almost as many verses as Just As I Am. It just went on and on. My neighbors hate me, but I will love them. I made that verse up. Guys, it's going to happen, you know? And I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just saying this is realistic life in a fallen world, living in bodies that are susceptible to sickness and injury and all that kind of stuff. That's life here on this world. But we have somebody who is there for us 24/7, who will never leave us nor forsake us, is always there for us no matter what. You know, a lot of times people, they go through things and they, you know, oh, pastor, can I meet with you and talk with you? I don't mean just here. I mean like in churches in general. They go, okay, well, sure. And then, you know, they just begin talking about, oh, it, and they just, all the stuff. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, because really, as brothers and sisters, sometimes, yeah, it's okay to sit down and just talk with each other about stuff. But when it becomes a gripe session, okay, no, there's no place for that. When it becomes a time of just sharing, here's what's going on, but, you know, just rejoice with me. Just rejoice with me. You know, well, praise God, I can do that. But a lot of people, they want the pastor to pray as though the pastor is going to make everything go away. The pastor can't make everything go away. But we can follow the pattern of the Apostle Paul. We, in fact, you know, think about this. There are a lot of people who've gone through stuff beyond what they were supposed to. There are a lot of people over the years, Christians, they've been made martyrs. I don't think they should have been martyrs. Remember Jesus? They're going to try and stone him. They wanted to kill him, throw him down a hill, and all this other. What did he do? He sneaks away. I don't know what he did, you know, put on a, you know, one of those glasses with the fuzzy mustache or something and pulled a hoodie up or what. I don't know what he did, but he got away. In other words, there's a time to run, then there is a time to die. But keep running until it's the time to die. Don't just roll over. I don't know who needed to hear that one. Praise God. Maybe me. Hallelujah. Guys, be encouraged to know, you know, greater is the life of God in you than anything in this world. And even the Apostle Paul said, you know what? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You win either way. You win either way. Praise the Lord.